how many other people are really looking forward to be to Tuesday being come and gone?
Yes. Yes.
I am not going to say what you would maybe hope that I would say this morning regarding the politics. I am refusing. I was in a church once. A new Christian, when Mr. Reagan was vying for a position. And I remember the pastor saying, "Vote for the Ronald Reagan of your choice." You know, at the time, I didn't know how funny it was. just kind of going along with the flow, you know. I was involved one time with a camping ministry through 10 weeks of camp, high school and junior high camp. Oh, what a chaotic summer that was. 10 weeks of it at Mountain Meadows Bible Camp. I hadn't thought of it for years until I was sitting right there thinking a few minutes ago. Mountain Meadows Bible Camp, they divided the camp, high school camp, into two opposing groups. And they had what we had to call an organized food fight. It was on Friday. All of the leftovers for the whole week had been collected. And they were put in these large bowls. Two of them, as I recall. And I don't suggest this, you camp leaders, etc. And the two teams were about 30 feet away from the table until the whistle blew. And we're talking chili beans and salad and bread dough. And you imagine it was in these two big old bowls. Counselors and teachers all involved with camp had to participate in this. Non-negotiable. We ran for that table as quick as we could to grab the slop and start throwing. One of the vital life lessons I learned at that point in time is if you do that, don't open your mouth. It was bad. It was bad. A week later, I dug something out of my ear, some ground beef from... It was gnarly. And that paints a picture of what I think about the political scene right now. It just does. And I will be so glad when the slop stops flying. It won't, because the agendas will carry on. But I can't not address this, because so often we get involved with what's going on at that table and join in the flinging rather than do what God says to do. So I'm going to back you up from that table for a moment, and I'm going to give you a challenge this morning. Not going to be a real long one, but I hope to be solid. I'd like you to join me 1 Timothy chapter 2. Between the mudslinging and the glossed over promises and the schmoozing, I'm a little weary. But I've got a part to play. I've got a part to play as a citizen of this United States. And by the way, let me tell you, I've been in plenty of other countries, and I'm really glad I'm a citizen of this country. Amen. Truly. And my opinion is, for those that don't like it and complain that much, go find another one. But I've got a higher responsibility as a citizen of heaven. God is not Republican. God is not Democrat. God is not like one of our kings that we've had for all of the years, God is sovereign. Romans 13 tells us that he is above it. And we either take that and believe it, or we discard it and continue on with our games. Is God in charge? Is God sovereign? What he admonishes us to do, I want to read this and then take it a little bit more personal. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then I urge, that word urge, we've talked about at the end of Romans 13, same word as 12:1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Well, here, I urge you. That entreaties, and that word has an urgency about it. I looked it up. It means an urgent prayer, an urgent petition. That entreaties and prayers and petitions, specifics and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Please, that is saved and unsaved. Jesus in Matthew 5:44, what are you supposed to do with your enemy? Bless them and pray for them, he said. What am I supposed to pray? On behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority. We don't like it, but there were a couple of Herods along the way during this biblical time that were kings. There were kings that were ungodly kings. There were high priests that were corrupt as any mob leader has been in our more recent history. But they were authorities. Nero was in charge of Rome as Caesar, as Paul wrote this. You're kidding. My thinking was Paul would be praying, God, go kill him. That's not how he tends to pray. Pray for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, in order that we might have some fruit of this that's nice, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life, but not just doing our own thing in tranquility and quiet life. It says, in all godliness and dignity, seriousness. Yeah, I'd like to be able to live my life like that. Wouldn't it be pleasant? And so often, authority is such, and hands mandates down as such, make life really not that fun and easy. Here I am at the table slinging mud at the opposing team. It's like a big chess game where we just about have a checkmate and then some surprise move and comes and we just about have another checkmate. Oh, then another surprise move. And it's like, Lord, help. Help. What is my part? God has not led me to run for office, and I'm really glad. Any office. I got my place. And in that place, there is a high responsibility, and it is praying for those people. I will admit to you, I have not prayed as many times as I've slung mud, by far. And God's mandate, pray. This week, last couple of weeks, I've read a particular chapter. I don't know how many times, 4, 5, 6 times maybe. And I'd like to read part of that chapter. It's Daniel's prayer. Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel was used by God at some of the highest government positions. First under Nebuchadnezzar. And then under the Medes, and a few days later under the Persians, who were joined together. He was in one of the highest government positions, and it didn't go to his head. He was a unique one. Daniel chapter 9, believing God, he prayed. We'll give you this setting. They've been in captivity for 70 years. They is Israel that had joined themselves into Judah, and all of them taken captive who weren't taken captive into Assyria earlier. Okay? And they were in Babylon, and they were going to leave Babylon after 70 years, says Jeremiah the prophet. So Daniel chapter 9, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans in the first year of his reign. I, Daniel, observed in the books, specifically the prophets of God, specifically the book of Jeremiah, the number of years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. God promised it. After 70 years, there would be a return and a restoration of the temple and of Jerusalem. Daniel says, so I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting in sackcloth and ashes. So I see an honest, humble man addressing God. Not one that is coming with stripes on his shoulder that I'm pretty special, God, so glad you're glad I'm on your side. And humble himself down, knowing God was going to answer what God said God would do. Yet here's a time of prayer. Now, for those people coming into the captivity, Daniel spent some years telling him, just go and you'll live. God said you're going to go. They tried to even kill the man a number of times. Those that followed through and went, some of those returned. Anyway, you can read all about that if you're into a difficult book to work your way through, the book of Jeremiah. And I want to tell you, Daniel 9 is specifics. When studying the Bible, know that there are interpretations and there are applications. And those are two different critters. Interpretation, what did the writer mean? What did God mean through the writer? What did the readers understand him to be writing? One interpretation. Application, it may speak to your heart in a certain way. Okay? And God is doing that, speaking. Something about the wording or about the situation that is speaking into your heart. Hallelujah for the word of God that can do that. The interpretation, Daniel was talking to God about Israel going back to Jerusalem. It's that simple. And it did happen. But this prayer also to me becomes a good framework. How should I pray? God, you admonish me to pray. What should my prayer be like? When I step back a little bit, just let the noise be in front of me somewhere. Consider the country where God has placed me, and it's a blessing. How should I pray? For this side to win? For that side to lose? What am I to pray? Let's read Daniel. Verse 4. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, "Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned." It's hard for me to get past that phrase in thinking about our country. And it's not thinking about the opposing side for what I happen to have an opinion that leans this way. We have sinned. And over the years that I've been here, I have seen the same corruption in every political party. It's not just true of one. We're broken. We are the broken. God help us. We have sinned. I look at that person's sin, or the sin in that corrupt position, what he's doing there. Well, I wouldn't do that. I haven't done that. God, go kill him. Well, I am as guilty. Daniel, not one sin is listed about Daniel. Yet he pulls himself right into this group that has sinned. We have sinned. Yes, I'm against some of the horrible things that we as a nation now have come to do. All of the blending, you know, the murders of at the abortion level, and I mean, all of that. I am opposed. God is opposed to that 100%. I don't care what political party you're associated with. God has made things a certain way, and he said, this is good and that's bad. Don't blend it. We have sinned. The problem comes, and here is where my feet need to get walked on, bruised, is much of what is so wrong out there has come into the entertainment world and the song world, and I participate in it. Participating in it at a certain level becomes even applauding it. We have sinned. Okay? We. So this becomes a pattern for me. At least a possibility of how I should pray for kings and those in authority and all of those that are going to vote for somebody or some measure for or against. Pray. God, take charge. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from thy commandments, thy ordinances, his ways. Moreover, we have not listened to thy servants, the prophets, the word of God, who spoke in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of our land. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, and that's any nation. But sin is a disgrace to any people. Through the prophets, God said about Israel, they didn't even know how to be ashamed. It had gone to that point. Wow. Is that just for them? Yeah. I believe it's very applicable to us here and now. Moreover, we have not listened to thy servants, the prophets, who spoke in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to thee, O Lord, but as to us belong open shame, shame of face, standing there caught, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those who are nearby, Babylon, those who are far away in all the countries to which thou hast driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against thee. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness. That's how God described himself in Exodus 34, 6. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, in which he set before us through his servants the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed thy law and turned aside, not obeying thy voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which was written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Black and white. Habakkuk was one of those that wrote, said the Chaldeans are coming. Oh, no! God, how could you let this happen? Habakkuk, short little book, three chapters. You'll breeze through it. Third chapter, the beginning of Habakkuk's prayer. Knew what was coming, and he prayed, in wrath, remember mercy. God is only going to put up with sin for so long, and there is a stopping point. There's discipline, and there's wrath. And there's a choosing ahead of that to walk in his righteousness, to follow him. I think that would be the wiser place to be. Verse 12. Thus he has confirmed his words. He has spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us. Pray for those kings and those who are rulers over you. Good reason to do that. The rulers who ruled us to bring on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like that which was done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to thy truth. It's pretty easy, though, to run to that table and grab some more slop and throw it. Turn the attention to him. Therefore, the Lord has kept this calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. Now remember, he's talking about Israel for generations, but the pattern is applicable. It seems to fit to me. And now, O Lord, our God, who has brought thy people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has made thyself a name for thyself as it is this day, we have sinned. We have been wicked. I wonder why Daniel didn't just say, hey, God, you said 70 years, and then we'll be going back to the land. Come on, keep your word. He went to their roots. He started there as a leader, spiritual leader of that nation. We have sinned. When is the last time we had a president that said, we have sinned? And now, O Lord, our God, who has brought thy people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has made the name for thyself as it is this day, we have sinned. We have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all thy righteous acts, let now thine anger, thy wrath, turn away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy city. For because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our Lord, listen to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplications. For thy sake, O Lord, let thy face shine on thy desolate sanctuary. It was flattened and burned. O my God, incline thy ear and hear. Open thine eyes and see our desolations in this city which is called by thy name. For we are not presenting our supplications before thee on account of any merit of our own. It's literally any righteousness of our own. But on account of thy great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for thine own sake. O my God, do not delay, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. It's all about God and his glory. I am one that, humanly speaking, I'm looking at a hopeless mess. Being mindful of the Lord, I'm not hopeless. Being mindful of the Lord, I believe God is still working as we are right here in this room. He is working in people that are of whatever parties are out there. God knows there are hearts. By the way, don't forget the wise words of Benjamin Franklin. Freedom of the press belongs to the one that owns the press. Who's running the loudspeaker? Our God is higher. In him is my personal hope. Philippians chapter 2 is an admonition to walk, Michael, as you taught on this so beautifully last hour, in such a way that we shine as luminaries in a very corrupt place. That is here, not just America. It is, we're broken, we people. We need God. And God can shine through us. God can speak through us. Yeah, cast your vote if you haven't already. I'm not opposed whatsoever. Pray for wisdom. Beg God for wisdom. And then as that whole thing is counted, can I trust him still if it doesn't go my way? I trust him. Humanly speaking, I don't know who out there I can trust. I really don't. But I can trust him. Amen. That brings me to peace. My call right now, your call right now, is to be praying. God has you active some other way. God bless you in it. Bottom line, baseline call, pray. Across the United States, there's been a number of calls to gather people together to pray right now. I've been involved in some of those, and oftentimes it's a political agenda. So I'm saying, you go pray. And if you join somebody else, hallelujah, go do that too. Eat a cookie at the same time. But our call is to pray, trust in God. Dare I open it up for interaction? Wisdom would say no. No, okay. Earthly, natural, demonic wisdom. James 3. We're coming to a time of communion, a time of celebration, remembering Jesus' death to pay for my brokenness. Yeah, Ron?
We need to realize that we don't live in the garden anymore. And that's not God's fault. So we have to be very much aware of where we do live. This is a fallen world. I mean, we're not fighting. The enemy is spiritual, and too many times we think we are still in the garden, and we're not. Mm-hmm.
That's a great reminder. I love the word in. Praying leading up to the count of votes, and I'm not talking just president, although that's pretty darn significant, but clear down to the little levels in our own county. Prayer is not supposed to stop after Tuesday. How many have gone into it with the right heart and right motive and then had a turnabout and were surprised, shocked? But that kind of authority can corrupt somebody. Little level clear up to a big level. Am I talking to our Father for them? That's the challenge. It's a good enough challenge for the morning?
I'll take it.
You okay to go with it?
Yes, sir.
No, we'll vote for Reagan.
Yeah, and Reagan, that's it. Brad, did you have something?
Well, I just want to throw a little something out there. You know, this time right now, there's a lot of fear of evil, a lot of intimidation, and people are really worried about where things are going and how broken our government is. There's one little piece of solace. If you read Romans 13, 1 through 7, says a lot for what we should be praying for now. And I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you. Yeah. Katie?
I just want to encourage you all, no matter what the outcome is, be kind to your neighbor. Be hospitable. You can only control you.
Thank you. Elizabeth?
I just want to say, when it's all said and done, Jesus is King.
Amen. Amy, you had?
David taught me the lesson that civil liberties come with civic responsibility.
Okay.
And I love that. Mm-hmm. And I try to carry that with me every day and like be of service.
Nice. I thank God for you. Specifically. Yeah. Yeah. Surely.
Okay. Well, you know where I stand. I'm wearing it. But I just want to remind you, when you go to vote, and please, no matter who you vote for, go and vote. But remember, the side that you vote for, do they line up with the Word of God, or do they line up with the evil of it?
How about their actions? Do their actions line up with the Word of God?
So I'm going to stop, please, because I can point out to you, there's godly people on both sides, and there's ungodly people on both sides, as well as the other side surrounding those two. I don't want to go there this morning, but it's a question to ask. It's a good challenge. I agree. Okay, one more.
Daniel, and how he described Israel, or us, that we've turned away, we've not listened, we can be covered in shame, we've been scattered, we've all sinned against God, but then he goes on, but God is great and awesome, he keeps his covenant, he's merciful, he's forgiving, he's righteous, he hears our prayers, he sees what's going on, and he's compassionate. So I'm going to...
Nice list. I love it. Thank you, Marcia. Perfect. And I'm not trying to candy coat anything. I am saying it's ahead of us, and by faith, we need to pray. We do. We do. We do. So, gentlemen that I talked to, and Michael, would you join us up here to serve, please? Yeah. Okay, you do that. Elizabeth, Jesus is King of Kings. That goes deeper and deeper. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the living God that prophesied that a man that didn't know God would become the king that would lead Israel back to their nation, and called him by name 114 years before he was in office. Our God's pretty good. King of Kings. Directing it as is necessary. His will be done. And so we pray along that line. As we do monthly, the celebration and declaration of the death of Jesus that impacts us for life, eternal life, is what this bread and this cup represents. We are together as a body because of Jesus. And there are varying opinions in this very room. That's why I'm stopping everything before it goes too far. Katie, thank you for that admonition. Be nice. Be kind. That's what God would have God's people do. In this tray that Derek has are two gluten-frees. One of them goes right there. There's one left if somebody would like it. If two need it, we'll split it. Okay? And break bread, that's right. So, gentlemen, let's go ahead and serve this bread that represents the broken body of Jesus. Come back together and we'll thank him for it. I've read each of the accounts in the Gospels about the Last Supper. And each one's a little bit different. Mark is the shortest, only a few verses long. Luke is the longest. Luke includes that Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, was there and ate it with them. Jesus gives the purpose for it. He gives the directive. It appears it was in the midst of the meal. Not, oh, by the way, at the end. He took that, and I wonder what his thoughts, you know? And then what were their thoughts when he said, all of you eat this, this is my body. Explained later by Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. It's representative of his body to remember his body was broken in your place. So your body isn't broken and eternally separated from God. This cup, drink it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me. And he did this before the cross, prior to the cross. They couldn't have understood it. But then it made sense after he was resurrected. And we can approach it from that angle and say, thank you, Lord, for life. Because you took my sin upon yourself. We are the broken. He is the healer. Derek, would you offer thanks for this bread? And we'll take of it together.
Father God, I just thank you for this church body, Father God, for all these followers of Jesus, and for even for newcomers, Father God. And just ask that you would just give us, Lord, healing and understanding, and as we search our selves and what we're doing in your kingdom, Lord God, and then the wonderful salvation that you've offered us, Father God, through the blood of Jesus. Just help us to reflect now, Father God, in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Take this from you.